You are listening to The Forecast, Season 1, Episode 18.
Jungle VIP. I reached the top and had to stop, and that's what's bothering me. I wanna be a man, cub, stroll right into town, be just like the other men. I'm tired of monkeying around. Oh, Ooby-Doo, I wanna be like you. I wanna walk like you, talk like you too. You'll see it's true. Someone like me can learn to be like someone like you.
Oh, so today we've announced some great news for the City of Liverpool and, of course, for Everton Football Club. Two significant statements have been made. Everton have secured the land at Bramley Moor, and Liverpool City Council has entered into an arrangement with Everton Football Club that enables them to secure finance for the development of a new stadium moving forward. I'm submitting a report to Cabinet which gives full details of the deal for Liverpool City Council. It's actually going to not cost the ratepayers of the city anything. It's a great deal for us. Not only is it a great deal financially that enables us to invest that money into services, but what it also enables us to do is kickstart the regeneration of North Liverpool. You'll have heard us talk about the 10th Street, you'll have heard us talking about £32 million in new road infrastructure. We've got the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company moving in on a new berth. We've got a £50 million development in terms of a new cruise liner facility within that particular area. And so this is not only a new chapter for Everton Football Club, but it's a new chapter for North Liverpool and for the City of Liverpool. So I welcome people having a look at the report. I welcome people, if you like, scrutinising the report. I'll be taking it to the Regeneration Select Committee and I'll be taking it to Cabinet. But as far as I'm concerned, this is a great deal for Liverpool City Council, working with one of the finest institutions in our city, Everton Football Club, and it means that we can secure a future for Everton Football Club, but also, as I said, and keep repeating, and will keep repeating, a great deal for the City of Liverpool.
How magnificent it would be, a gigantopithecus like me, could learn to do like you humans do.
So we talked a little bit about the relevancy or the, how do you say, the importance of this game. And in the past, it historically, you know, it was always a big matchup, a game that you look forward to. And then over the years, you could see maybe this the relevancy or the status of this game, other than for people in the City of Liverpool. That importance is kind of like, you know, diminished over the years. But now, with Everton's plans, with Moshiri coming in with the takeover, and the various plans that they have announced for Everton, the building of the new stadium at the Bramley Moor Stadium, it seems that they're aiming for higher. You know, they have loftier ambitions now, and they may be putting the squeeze on Liverpool from the bottom. I mean, God, I mean, we're getting the squeeze from the top. So we're sandwiched right up there in the top six, or whatever you could call it, the top half of the table. How serious do you think Everton are in this view? And if you're listening to this podcast, I mean, you will hear at some point audio from both Moshiri as well as John Henry that talk about their own perspective and approach to their respective projects.
The one thing that struck me most was he was a nice man. I thought, oh, this is a nice guy. The second thing was his love of football, not Everton, not like us, his love of football was astonishing. it seemed he knew more about football than anyone I've ever met, and he, other than you, Sharpie, and he actually lived for football. And it was my job from that moment to make him live a little bit for Everton. And thank God I did, because I think he'll tell you he's now a Blue. I hope so.
The day I went to Bill's office was a very special day. I mean, I had looked at a number of clubs, having been at Arsenal for a long time as a minority shareholder. I just wanted to be involved in a club.
You've been to Goodison Park a few times now. You sample the atmosphere. It's something special, isn't it?
Oh, I've really enjoyed it. I mean, it's far exceeded my expectations, and I think it's just not enough to say we are special. We are a great club. I mean, we don't want to be a museum, right? I mean, we need to be competitive and we need to win.
Yeah. First of all, Mr. Henry, obviously, thanks for taking the time to chat with us today. And I think the first question I have to ask you is, why did you buy Liverpool Football Club?
We have a unique skill set at Fenway Sports Group. And I think it is perfectly suited for, in the U.S., we call them breaking curses. We had an 86-year drought in Boston for winning a World Series, and there's been a 20-year drought for winning the first division since the Premier League's existed. We haven't won that. So I think that throughout the process, we looked at similarities between what we had accomplished in Boston, what we thought we could do in Liverpool, and I think there was a very strong feeling among us that we were, as I said, uniquely perhaps qualified. Even though we didn't know the sport, we knew the sports business. We know what it takes to put together a sports organization. We felt that we could do that, and it's competing at the highest level in the world's most popular sport. That was an attraction we couldn't pass up.
You know about passionate fans owning the Boston Red Sox, but talk about your initial reaction to Liverpool fans when you first stepped inside Anfield.
Well, it was terrific. The cop is unrivaled. The atmosphere. I was really surprised, because we've heard so much about needing a new stadium, and we were surprised at how beautiful Anfield was. And it would be hard, just as it would be hard, it would have been hard to move when we bought the Red Sox, to move out of Fenway Park, because of the history and the magic that happens every night at Fenway. Similarly, I think that was my feeling when I first went to Anfield, both just viewing it as an empty stadium, and then with the first game, that it'd be hard to replicate that feeling anywhere else. But we're still in the middle of that process, trying to decide what's in the best long-term interest of the club.
Anfield is as important to Liverpool fans as Fenway is to Boston fans. Will you look to refurbish Anfield, or will you look to move to a new stadium?
That would probably be the first choice, but you have to do what's in the best interest of Liverpool Football Club, the community at large, but really we have to focus on what's best for this club. That's really what the community at large wants. They want a winning Liverpool club, so that's got to be our first focus, what's in the best long-term interests of the club moving forward.
How do you think the vision for both clubs hold up in competition to each other? Do you think there's any real ambition to what Everton are trying to do or attempting to do? Anyone?
I think it'll depend on how much money they're going to splash in the summer. Then we, you know, if they're going to have the Manchester City type of money, they're going to become a club to be reckoned with. Money does buy success. So we can't ignore that. At the moment, Everton reminds me of one of those little dogs that hump your leg, and that you just sort of kick away every now and again. They want to feel important, so they think by humping your leg, you know, you'll get noticed. But this summer, we will see if they go out there and they put down 100, 120, 130 million on the table to bring to bolster their squad. Yeah, they'll make a big statement. What I like about what's happening with the English football is that you are going to have at least 8 to 10 teams in the mix next year. We're going to get Newcastle coming up. We all know what quality Rafa Benitez brings to the table. And if Mike Ashley gives him the funds, they're going to be up in the mix. But what's also good about what is happening as well, we're getting teams that will play football coming through at the moment. Mm-hmm. And the teams under the Pulises and sort of the Fat Sams are sort of getting lower and lower down the order, with the teams that want to play football rising to the top. So I don't think we can say what ambition Everton's going to have until we see what their budget and who they bring in the summer.
For many years, they were limited by the size of
the funds. Yeah.
No,
Kendall had no.
Yeah. Also, the stadium at Goodison Park, they had very limited options in terms of expansion, unlike us. I mean, we had some leeway with regards to the expansion of Anfield. They don't even have that option at Goodison Park, and that's where this announcement for their new stadium and the docks on the docks is an interesting one. You know, if you peruse through social media and various commentary and blog sites, I'm not sure whether you could sense that any nervousness from Liverpool fans that Everton are finally getting their act together, or you know some say this will come to nothing as usual. But what do you think about this move to the this new stadium at the Docks? It's great for the city of Liverpool. I mean, for the local economy, for jobs.
What was the completion date? What is the completion date on that stadium?
I don't think there is one, is there?
No.
Because there's still a £3 million hole in the funds that they have that investment that they require, but they haven't actually secured yet.
£300 million. Yeah.
So yeah, there's no idea when it's actually going to start.
We're looking 2-3 years down the line here before that becomes a reality. So that's why I'm saying it's all good and well to talk new stadium, new this. Are they going to carry Everton as a loss-making concern for those 3 years? Are they going to pump, how much money they're going to pump in the summer while they build a stadium? So a lot of these things is all great, and the noise is great, and it's fantastic for Liverpool, and it's great, and I want to see Everton up there with us, and I want to see a proper derby. I really do, because back in the 70s, 80s, it was a proper derby when they had the likes of Lineker, Southall, and there were some great, great players coming through Everton ranks. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to happen overnight. It really is not going to happen overnight.
And maybe it's the wrong way, to mount a horse. I mean, invest £300 million in a completely new stadium with only 50,000 seats. Instead of 39,000 like Goodison.
Yeah.
Where's the point?
I would have gone 60.
Yeah, at least. Because you have to become efficient on that thing. You have to make money on it. Yeah, to finance further investments in the team. And first of all, the team has to achieve something to get to the big money streams, the money flows. Champions League. Mm-hmm. Well, they are pretty close, but still are felt to be too far away, to get into it. And I would, if I was Mashiri, I would invest in the team and the coach first. I mean, Coleman is very good, okay, but maybe he's the right one, but I would invest 200, 250 million. I mean, try to make a calculation and sum up, we will have this point later on, about quality and quantity regarding transfers, and you are with 4 or 5 players, you easily exceed 120 million today.
Does anybody, I actually would like to ask the whole panel here, do you guys rate Koeman as one of the premier managers in the world?
No.
Not yet.
Yeah, I think he's sort of, he's a bit of a Pochettino figure, and obviously he's gone from Southampton to a slightly bigger club in the Premier League, and now you know, it's a question of whether, like Pochettino has, he can make that next big step and sort of force his way into that.
I actually think Pochettino is quite a way ahead of him, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, I think at the moment Pochettino is way ahead of him, but it's a question of whether Koeman, in his time at Everton, when over a course of seasons, when he's had a few summers to rebuild the team and shape it the way he wants to, whether he can bring himself to the same level of Pochettino, or whether he will just stay as a bit of an also-ran and not quite be a sort of Premier-level manager.
Yeah.
I would get worried if Everton bring in somebody like a Simeone.
Oh, yeah, of course, definitely.
I would always be concerned if someone brings Simeone in.
Yeah, because he knows how to win. He knows how to take on the big clubs. He knows how to work within a budget.
Yeah.
Don't see that happening in a million years, though.
I can't see Simeone going for Everton.
That's why, I mean, Everton can go for that top dog status. It's going to be another 4 or 5 years before I think they're going to be starting to compete anywhere near what they used to do in the old days.
Mm-hmm. I was just looking
at... Because don't forget, sorry, Joe, just 1 second. Don't forget, we are going places with Klopp. Are Everton going to catch us and catch us with a pace that we are going to improve? That's what you've got to ask yourself, because we're not going to be staying still.
Well, Everton are also going places. They are moving to the docks. But unfortunately, Manchester Met University researcher says that an Everton stadium on the Liverpool waterfront could one day be submerged by the rising Mersey due to global warming. So there's always something, some good news lurking in the background.
Well, let's face it, the working girls on the docks are going to be happy, aren't they?
Oh, wow, that's great. Spent $300 million and it sinks in the second year. Wonderful.
Glug, 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 glug,
glug, glug, glug, glug, glug. But I was just looking at these statistics, 2016, recent statistics for home attendances in the Premier League. Just looking at the average attendance for the different teams in the league. And Everton are in eighth place. We are in fifth place, okay? And we have 98% capacity, full capacity, at 98%, mm-hmm. Okay? And... Everton are at 99.3%, so they are packing out Goodison, but their capacity at that moment, in terms of how they've been getting average attendance, is 39,322, compared to us, we are at 53,000. So there's a big gap. Yeah. There's a big gap. Where we are. So move to the new stadium could help them, but that's not the only thing that they need to be spending money on. They need to be spending money on the quality as well. And this is going to be not just a 1 year or 2 year project. It could even be a 3 year or 4 year project. But speaking about Koeman, will he be sticking around that long? I mean, I see his name being linked to various jobs, international jobs, other clubs.
Yeah, the Dutch might call him, actually. Well, mind you, the Dutch aren't going to the next World Cup, so maybe it'll be the next after that.
I'm not sure if he will be able to resist that call or not. I'm not sure if he's...
Well, yeah, because we expected him to stick around at Southampton, really, didn't we? And we thought he was going to build a bit of a dynasty there, and he did sort of give that impression. He was talking up staying at Southampton and helping them get through the Europa League and everything, and that fell away at the end, didn't it? So it really is a matter of, I think, whether someone like you were saying, Joe, whether a call that he can't resist comes along, like the job as the Netherlands manager.
Yeah. He was also being linked with Real Madrid, right?
Nah, he's not going to get. He's not going to. He's not.
Barca, Barca. Was it Barca? I don't know which team. Who did
he hasn't got enough Barca, track record to go to either.
Yeah, he used to play for Barcelona, is it?
I think it was Barcelona.
Yes, it was Barcelona. Yeah, it was Barcelona.
Yeah, he's not a Barca type manager, though. Anyway.
Here's the question for you, Joe.
Yes.
Is Eric sick because of the Dutch results, and that's why he's not on the podcast tonight and we can't take the piss out of him? No, or is he really sick?
No, it's because Lukas might actually play.
The Dutch, they're terrible. I'm sorry, Eric, but they're terrible. But I think you probably agree as well. They're not going to make the Euros. They're not going to make the Euros.
Can we get back to the stadium thing just for a second? I just wanted to point out a few things. Chelsea were taken over by Roman Abramovich 2003-2004, right? And they, like Christian said, they invested into the manager and players first. And eventually they become a very big club. On the other hand, we see what's happening to West Ham. They moved to a bigger stadium and nothing so far. I mean, it is the first season in that stadium, so okay, let's give them time, but so far it's not looking good. So perhaps Christian is right about the order of things where you need to invest the money first.
Well, yeah, because Arsenal, they sort of prioritise spending on the stadium over spending on the actual team itself, and that's the sort of often cited reason for why Arsenal don't spend much money on transfers, is because they're still sort of paying off the costs of building the Emirates Stadium. So perhaps, you know, going for another stadium just isn't the right way to go about bringing success, because I can't really think personally of a team in recent years that have gone to a new stadium and that's been what's instigated their success.
Have a look at West Ham, the London Stadium.
I'm just about to say that. West Ham or third.
I'm the first.
Yeah. It's a German thing. I can't believe West Ham are third on the attendance record. And 99.9%, eh?
99.9%.
So they're almost 100% full every single game. And they still play shit.
It's not 100% full in the 90th minute, though, is it?
No.
It's about half capacity by that stage in the game.
Listen, and also it doesn't go much say much for Sunderland, who are six above Chelsea either.
Yeah. Sorry, I kind of misspoke a bit earlier when I talked about the Dutch. Obviously, it's a qualification for the World Cup and not the Euros, so sorry there. But coming back to this, I think it's going to come back to then, you know, being successful on the pitch, winning things, you know, trophies and such. That really is going to, you know, make Everton stand out. I mean, yes, of course, new stadium, it's all good, obviously, on the revenue side. But it's still going to be judged by, you know, success on the pitch. And I just don't see that. Just don't see that happening at the moment, because it's, you know, you've got all these teams there at the top, and it's becoming tougher and tougher every season, and not just in the league, but, you know, in the cup competitions, you know, it's not going to be an easy task for Moshiri and his ambitious plans. Yeah, so good luck to them, but not so much good luck. But I'm a creep.
Special, but I'm a makes you happy. Whatever you want, so very special. I wish I was special, but I'm a creep.